The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccount. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, home of where they broadcast the New England Patriots, the Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots Super Bowl 53, another one in the books. Did you go to the parade? What a great day, a day for the parade, huh? 60 degrees in February for a parade in Boston. Wow, that couldn't be any better. Too bad I wasn't there. I mean, I didn't even want to go, to tell you the truth. To be very honest with you, look, I celebrated with the Patriots. I watched the game. I had the Super Bowl party, did the whole thing. But the last thing I wanted to do was stand with crowds in Boston, stand in line for a bathroom, stand in line for a coffee, with hopes that I can just wave to Gronk as he goes by and cheer him on. You know, I can do that for my TV. I know. I'm being a spoiler here, but I'm thrilled for the Patriots. I really am. If you watched that game, and I'm sure you did, though it seems like not much of the rest of the world wanted to watch this game, one of the lowest watched Super Bowls in history. Only 100 million people watched the game. That's all. Actually, when I was in the Super Bowl, not me. I didn't play in the Super Bowl, but I did perform in the Super Bowl. I did the halftime show 1986 when the Patriots played the Bears. The Patriots got their butts kicked. It was their first time ever going to the Super Bowl. It was what they called the Squish the Fish year. It was the Refrigerator Perry and the Icky Shuffle, I think, was that year. All that kind of stuff. So I played I was one of the people in the halftime show at the Super Bowl. I still believe that our halftime show was far better than most halftime shows, and certainly far better than the strip tease that Adam Levine did on the halftime show this year. Man, this was not the Maroon 5 halftime show. This was the Adam Levine coming out party where it was all about Adam Levine. It's like, I am now king of the world. I have my spectacle on The Voice. I am the sexiest man in the world. I am Maroon 5. I am Adam Levine. I got this supermodel wife. Let me show you everything I can about me, and it's going to be all about me. I was hoping to see Maroon 5 as a band. I didn't think I was going to see Adam Levine just be by himself out. It was the Adam Levine solo. He might have done, I mean, Gladys Knight did better as a solo item than what Adam Levine did at the halftime show. And then, of course, to really muck up the halftime show, to bring out this jerk, whoever he was, who came out to rap, and he can't even keep it clean. Man, I don't know how many of you thought your TV was broken, because I kept on thinking, what the heck happened to the sound? And I thought, oh my God, we're not going to be able to watch the game. And then it happened again, and it happened again, and I realized, oh my God, they're actually bleeping him out. How can you do that? What an embarrassment to that entire halftime show, to the entire American public, to the entire world, to say, this is who the United States is. We can't even control our language. We can't control the spectacle. We can't appreciate the celebration of what the greatest sport is here in our country, and why everybody seems to watch it. It was an absolute embarrassment. I don't care what Adam Levine has to say, that, you know, this was part of his plan, and he wrote his name, wrote all these words on the the little planes that flew up in the balls that flew up in the air or whatever. It was ridiculous. The whole thing was just insane. And I say to the NFL, you should be ashamed of yourself, because clearly Adam Levine, I gotta believe, was never your first choice. It was never your first choice. I'd rather bring back some of the college marching bands to do a halftime show than to see what I saw for the halftime at the Super Bowl. That's how I feel about the Super Bowl. But I will tell you how I feel about the Super Bowl and the Patriots' outcome. That was fabulous. And if you don't like defense, well, shame on you. You got to appreciate what defense is in a football game. It's not what anybody thought about, not what anybody expected. If you listen to any of the sports radio stations, it was all about the offense, the offense, the offense. Will the score be 33-31? Will it be 40-37? Will they do the over? Well, folks, this was all about the under. It was all about the under in the Super Bowl. It was great defense on both sides. Kudos to the entire defensive team on both sides, actually. Jared Goff, I don't even think he showed up, frankly. Actually, I don't know why he would show up. He didn't even have any fans show up for the Super Bowl. Even the Patriots referred to the Super Bowl as a home game. I mean, I don't know if people in Los Angeles even realize that there is a football team in their own hometown. They certainly didn't show up for the Super Bowl. What an embarrassment. If I was Los Angeles, I would be embarrassed just as to even carry around a hat or a T-shirt, because what were they waiting for? They actually wanted L.A. to win so that they could celebrate back home, but they certainly weren't making that journey out to Atlanta. Oh, God forbid. If you haven't been to Atlanta, they're probably saying Atlanta's a great place to go to. Kudos to the Patriots. Kudos to Bill Belichick, the defensive team, to Josh Allen for being a terrific kicker, punter, whatever he did. I mean, it was just to Matthew Slater, to the McCourties, to all these people that really stepped up. What I love about this is, you know what? At the end of the day, it wasn't about Tom Brady, was it? And when you think about football and you think about what happened, why were the Patriots so successful? Because they had a great defense. They had an offense that made it work when they could. They had a great coach who gave the instructions and had a team of other coaches around him to really train these guys. And frankly, I got to tell you, the same thing applies to investing. It does. Think about this. Think about this. If you were down in the dumps the first week in January, you looked at your statement and you go, oh my God, I can't believe how much money I lost. You saw that drop. You saw the drop in October. You saw a leveling out in November. Then you saw a big drop in November and you thought, oh my God, I need to get defensive. And if you jumped out and got defensive, you were in trouble, because the month of January was all offense. Folks, if you're building a portfolio for your future, if you say I'm a long-term investor, and long-term to me is 3 years, 5 years or more, and especially if you're an investor who plans on taking money from their account every single month or at least once a year to support their income, you need to be both offensively positioned and defensively positioned. And then periodically, you need some special teams to help you along the way. A good portfolio allows you to live through the ups and downs. And the Patriots, people will say about the Patriots, this was not the best Patriots team that ever took the field for a Super Bowl. For sure it was not. But what they did was they dealt with challenging circumstances, like the circumstances we've been dealing with for a year plus, whether it's tariffs that we have with China, whether it's our president's mouth, whether it's what happens in Washington, whether it's the threat of rising interest rates, whether it's the threat of terrorism, cyber attacks, whatever it is, we have to approach things from all different perspectives. And if we jump on the bandwagon on one great idea or two greats idea, or try to carry our future success on one investment or one strategy or one player, like the Patriots have, they have several players, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Who was the team in Los Angeles that was going to collectively beat the Patriots? The Patriots knew that they had to identify and stop a couple players. And Bill Belichick, the mastermind behind this all, did that. He knew how to win when things weren't going well on offense. He knew how to still keep his team, just like our job is to keep your portfolio well stabilized when offense, when growth, when the markets aren't doing well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to continue to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Many of you are facing this year the opportunity of having to take a required minimum distribution from your IRAs. Many of you, well, most people listening to this show, are going to likely be starting to fill out their 1040 form and having to pay their taxes or file their taxes with the new tax law behind them from 2018. Will you be ready for that? Will you make changes? Perhaps you're thinking about, well, do I want to reshift my portfolio, seeing what's happened in the past year? Or perhaps you have some of the most expensive years coming up. We have lots of things we want to talk about with you today. Because when we're here, when Friedman Financial is here delivering what I call dollars and cents and financial advice in a language you can understand, we want to guide you with real life stories. I want to tell you what's really happening. Man, I've been spending some time getting invited to some of these conferences and meetings and all this stuff. And it's basically an expansion of what you see on television. You get expanded sound bites rather than these tiny little sound bites. And I sit there and I shake my head from the audience. At the end of the day, anybody that's standing behind a stage, anybody that's sitting at a podium, they're up there to sell you on something. They want to try to provide you some guidance, but they want to provide you guidance that leans to your circumstances. And they don't, unfortunately, have the time to provide you the details that support it. They believe that everybody in the room shares the same problem. The beauty and benefit that I have is, yes, the advice that I provide to you here on the radio, sure, it's somewhat biased because that's the world that I've lived in over the past 28 years. But my advice has some time to explain itself here on the radio. I don't have 30 seconds. I have 12 to 14 minute segments, and four of them at that, each and every week, to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand week after week. This is, I think, our seventh year doing it. And I'd like to think it's working, because each and every week we get more and more people signing up for our free newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, and I promise you, when you get the newsletter, I'm not calling you. I don't have a team of people. I didn't hire this group of marketers to start cold calling you and all that stuff. No, you just get the newsletter. That's all. And if you want to unsubscribe, we make it real easy. There's a button at the bottom of the newsletter that says unsubscribe. Hit the button. You're still not going to get any calls from me. It's not going to be another message that says, are you sure you want to unsubscribe? Tell us why you want to unsubscribe. You want to unsubscribe? Unsubscribe. That simple. But the advice that we've been providing since 2009, more than 500 issues of Planning Pointers have landed in people's inboxes every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. There's generally three stories. They're little tidbits of stories. The stories are 100 words or less, and then you can click if you want to learn more. You also have the opportunity, if you want, to schedule a free initial consultation in my office. I'm not going to push that on you. I'm not going to ask for it. But if you think now is the time to get serious about your financial planning, if now is the time for you to get a second opinion on what's going on in your financial life, we are ready to talk with you. Here's how you get the Planning Pointers. You go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. It's so funny I say that. I was talking to the people at Disney. I was setting up for our trip that we're going to in Disney in a few weeks and talking with someone. She says, what's your email address? And I said, oh, it's Mark Friedman, Mark at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's. And oh, I stopped myself. I go, wait a second, sorry, I'm not on the radio. But I say that so often, and a lot of people are getting that now. So yes, if you'd like the newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And of course, if you would like for us to send you some information, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation in our office, here's my phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Jody will answer the phone if it's during regular business hours. If not, leave a message on our phone and we will get back to you, get some information out to you. So we've got lots more things to share. I'm going to show you how this whole idea of teamwork, something similar to what the Patriots did, teamwork works effectively to build the portfolio, to build the financial planet that you want. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the North Shore Mall and right above Alto Forno Restaurant. You know what we're not across from anymore? Sears, all gone. The building is down, all done, kaput. Sears will soon be, where Sears was, will soon be a parking lot. That is right. It'll soon be a parking lot. And to the left of where Sears was will be, I think it's called Anytime Fitnesses that's going to go up there. But they're going to continue that promenade that started all the way down where the Bancroft is. And they're going to run it all the way to where Macy's is down at the other end of the mall. So I got a great bird's eye view of all the changes that are going on over there. And a great bird's eye view of a lot of people who choose to make decisions to spend money. There's thousands of cars that run in and out of that North Shore Mall. Everybody's making financial decisions every day, and we are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. During the last segment, I was encouraging folks that if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, if now's the time for you to say, hey, I need a second opinion. I really want to go in, talk to somebody who's independent, who's a fiduciary, who's truly going to place my interest first to make sure that they know more than just my investments, but that they ask me questions about everything in my financial life. So as I'm sitting here in the studio, I must have said something that triggered the word Siri on my phone, and Siri started talking. So if you know, as I know you're probably driving around, you're thinking in your car, you're sitting around. So, hey, Siri, remind me to call Friedman Financial on Monday morning. Watch to see what happens. If you've got your cell phone with you right now, I just talked to your phone. How's that? Is that the coolest thing? All right. I thought that might be kind of a fun thing to do. And I'll talk to Alexa later. No, we've got an appointment for later in the next segment. So when you think about money and you think about how you're planning moving forward, I got to tell you, the last quarter of 2018 was really, really challenging. People didn't know what to do, but it was all based on little news. Little news, frankly. I mean, and it was all that was news. It wasn't action. It was news. The threat of a tariff coming through from China, the threat of interest rates moving up or down, the threat of the government shutting down. Well, that did. But all of the impacts of all of those gave movements to the market that were very short lived, because in January, it's pretty much almost come back. I mean, certainly more than half of it. I have these numbers here in front of me that take a look at this. And what's interesting is most people don't realize that. Most people don't realize that the market has come back rather dramatically. You know why? Because that's good news and that's not worth reporting. Frankly, that's true. I bet all you'll hear in the week to come is all of the news that someone's going to rip apart President Trump's State of the Union address that happened on Tuesday. Someone's going to say, you know that flag pin he was wearing his lapel? It was a couple centimeters more to the left. Perhaps that was a separate message. And people speculate on all this stuff. People will talk about the position of whether someone smiled or someone stood or whatever the words were. It's like, come on, people. Let's focus on the stuff that matters. Let's stop making news out of news, out of news, out of news. Because frankly, you know what happened? In 2008, that's why this country almost failed. That's why the stock market came crumbling down, because the lending that went on in this world, the lending of mortgages, the lending of loans, started getting loans upon loans upon loans upon loans upon loans upon loans, and all of a sudden you were dealing with fictitious loans. And that if interest rates started to stabilize or move up, oh my God, those loans would just have this domino effect that would start to really cripple this country. And that is what happened. Now, fortunately, Months later, we put in a financial protection system so that doesn't happen again. But I will tell you, one of the things that could cripple this country is fake news upon fake news upon fake news. Call it whatever you want. Fake news, that's a Trump line. I don't mean to pick that Trump said that, but just the inability for us to report on proper news with substantiated evidence behind it. The news reporting is horrible in America. And here's what's the reality. I mean, we talk about the power of the millennials, and they're coming, and they're doing great. Let me tell you, the work that they do from a technology standpoint and really trying to move this country forward is tremendous. But you know what they don't know and what they don't do? They don't know what's going on in the world. They're very focused on their project so that they can make money, potentially go public, potentially make money on their shares, stay at the top of the game, go to the nicest restaurants and do all that kind of stuff. But if you ask them what's going on in the world, what do they know? They know what Instagram told them or what somebody posted on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever the news reporting service that they might have on their phone shows as a headline, and they never read beyond the headline. And you know what? As we're all getting older and we're all getting a little bit lazier and more dependent upon our phones, we are as much the problem as the millennial is. We do that as well. We have to be prepared for that change. We have to be ready for it. And my feeling is one of the things that could really kill this market, and I don't think this is happening yet, but I do think a couple of years from now, there are going to be some stories that are going to sound, that are going to become more and more and more and more terrible. And we're going to worry more and more and more about certain things and find out it just ain't true. That worries me. We're going to hear stories about what's happening in Russia or in Germany or perhaps right here in our own country. And we won't have the field reporting that used to exist in America to really find out what's truly happening, because all it is about it's a race to be first. It's not a race to be right. It's a race to be first. So as you begin planning your portfolios, when you begin thinking about what you should be doing to manage yourself through the years, especially in retirement when a paycheck isn't coming in anymore, I will tell you, you want to build a portfolio that looks like the New England Patriots. Think about this. You want to have a team, you want to have a portfolio that's both defensive and offensive. And when the offense isn't working so well, the defense steps up. And when everything looks good, the offense is really plugging along. You got to have some of your dividend payers. You can call the dividend payers your running backs, your Sony Michels. You got to have your high flyers. Like, we used to have Josh Gordon. We had Julian Edelman. We had Hogan. We had a whole bunch of these guys. The high flyers, these guys that are racing out there. So when the big opportunity is there, they're out to grab it. You got also, though, you got to have some protection provisions in place. You got to have an offensive line that makes sure that those running plays and those long passing yards can actually happen so that you're protecting the quarterback, the manager that's running this whole portfolio. And when it's time to realize that things aren't going so well, you want to make sure that your portfolio is defensive enough so that you have some stabilization in your portfolio. Something that doesn't move much, but it's not going to cripple what you've been trying to accomplish. Collectively, that makes for an extraordinary portfolio. The New England Patriots were able to show that during the Super Bowl this past week. They were able to show that despite when offense doesn't work, defense does. And we can be more strategic. We can be more tactical if we have to, simply because we have skills at so many different positions. But we weren't going to bail out. You didn't see Tom Brady just say, you know what? Hey, the offense isn't working today. We're just going to run the ball the rest of the time. No, you still plug away. You still remain optimistic. You still move forward because you know eventually there's going to be some breaks in the way. Well, folks, that's what happened. And that's what has happened over the past 4 months or so here in this market. Look, in August of 2018, you hit probably your high point in your portfolio. And for whatever reason, we all seem to think of, that's my new principle. That's what I need to get back to. I need to get back to that high number. Well, we've been talking about for years the fact that your account has gone up too fast. Markets aren't sustainable. They can't continue to move at that pace. And we saw the market pull back in October, then again flattened out a little bit in November, then again big time in December. In fact, as the number here that I have in front of me shows, for the month for the 1 month of December, the S&P 500 for 1 month was down 9.03%. For 3 months, it was down 13.52%. That's pretty scary. That means a $100,000 investment drops, if you're all invested in the stock market, it drops to 90, and then over 3 months, perhaps to 85. How do you feel about that? Are you prepared for that? That's if you're 100% in the stock market. But get this. If you decided not to do anything, and you said, you know what, I'm hanging tight. I'm not going to do anything with all of this craziness that's gone on in the market. If you would have remained invested and had everything in the S&P 500, which is an unmanaged index of stocks, and you know the whole disclaimer and story about all the indexes and stuff, but if it was just in the S&P 500, for 1 month, you would have picked up 8.13%. So wait a second. So you lost, I just said, for the month of December, you lost 9.03. And you thought, oh my God, we need to do something. Maybe I should move my money to the bank. Maybe I need to buy CDs. Maybe we need to get out of this stock market. The stock market's going to hell in a handbasket. And boom, 1 month later, up 8.13%. Shut up. Really? We invested for the long term. The markets go up. The markets go down. That's going to happen. But if all you're doing is trying to ride the wave of the stock market, that can be painful. But imagine if you had some of your money in large cap stocks, some of your money in small cap stocks, some of your money, think about it this way. What if you had some of your money with Julian Edelman, some of your money in the stock of Tom Brady, some with Rob Gronkowski, some with Sony Michel, but also had some money with the McCourty brothers, also had some money with Matthew Slater, also had some money with the defensive line. How does that feel for a portfolio? Man, I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, by the way, and you got a guy that's been doing this for 18 years. Not Tom Brady, but Bill Belichick. More than 18 years. Doing it for 20 plus years. He's been through those ups and downs. Tom Brady orchestrates it from the field. But Bill Belichick operates it from the sidelines, from the eyes in the sky, and everything else that he needs to get things to happen. Imagine that. And that is where we believe a financial advisor, certainly a certified financial planner, delivers you that value. We've been doing this 28 years at Friedman. I've been doing it 28 years at Friedman Financial. Our firm's been doing it for 51 years. We've been through those hills and valleys. We've been through the oil embargo. We've been through 9/11. We've been through 2007, 2008. Yeah, we've even been through the last 3 months. Whoopee! It was no big deal. No reason to panic. We remain rational when emotions take over. And that's what I'm trying to deliver to you here on this radio station, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And when the time is right for you to say, you know what? I don't want to do this on my own, or I'm not getting the communication that I need from my financial advisor. I want you to know that we are here ready to deliver what you need from a comprehensive perspective of financial planning. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give our office a call. And I'll even ask Siri. Hey, Siri, give our office a call. It's funny what will happen to the phone. Or sign up for our free newsletter. Our newsletter is called Planning Pointers. You can find it through my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom, .com. Sorry, I was speaking that too fast. Go down to any page on our website. You will see a place where you put in your email address, perhaps your name. You want to write me a little message. You want to ask me a question. Do whatever you want. You'll get signed up. More than 7,000 people receive our free weekly newsletter. I've been delivering it since March of 2009. You can get that, and you're going to get more if you stick around. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Go on, take the money and run.
Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. And won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walked in the room.
To join us for a show, visit nsmt.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street, right above Alto Forno Restaurant in Peabody. I have the whole second floor and overlooking the North Shore Mall. We are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. It is my pleasure to do it. I love talking about personal finance, about money. And you know what? Sometimes you got to talk more than just investments. For whatever reason, people seem to think, well, my financial guy only talks about investments. If that's what you think, then you got the wrong financial guy. I'm telling you, a financial advisor should be providing you with more information than just what investment to buy, but everything with regards to your financial life. And here's a perfect example. Many of you, many of the listeners that tune into this show will be turning that magical year of 70 and a half this year. No, you're not old. You're just a little seasoned. You've got a lot of wisdom behind you, and you're ready to share that wisdom with the world. And one way to share it is by having a little bit of extra cash coming in. That's right. You know, it's 70 and a half. That is the year when you must take something that's called a minimum distribution from your retirement plans. I thought I'd kind of walk with you through how all of this works. I did this a couple weeks ago, but I continue to get lots of questions on required minimum distributions, and sometimes it can be confusing. So let's see if we can work this thing through. So here's what you have to think about first. Let's imagine you're married, and you will turn 70 and a half this year. Not 70 this year, but 70 and a half this year. If 2019 is the year you turn 70 and a half, it's my advice that you take it this year. Now, can you wait until 2020? Many people will say, well, you don't have to take your minimum distribution until the April following your 70 and a half birthday. Well, you can do that, but that would mean the year that you take it, you might have to take two, because you'd also be 71 that year as well. So plan to take your minimum distribution in the year when you turn 70 and a half. It works in most cases. There's always a few exceptions here and there, but for the most part, that works. So what is the minimum distribution? Does it mean I have to cash out all of my retirement accounts? Do I have to pay taxes on everything? No. What it does mean, though, is that you have to take a look at all of the accounts that are designated as your retirement accounts, not your spouse's. So you don't count your spouse's assets in here. You don't count your individual accounts at the bank unless they're a retirement account. So IRAs, 403Bs, 401Ks, 457 accounts, IRAs that you have in an annuity, whatever it might be. All of those numbers have to be reported to the IRS, not by you, by the carriers that hold all of those things. And every year they report that to the IRS. What they report is the value of each and every one of those accounts as of 12/31 end of the year. So 12/31/2018. So maybe you have $100,000 in an IRA, $200,000 in an old 401k plan, and you have $50,000 in an IRA at the bank. That's $250,000. Well, the IRS doesn't care where you take your money from. All they want is what the required minimum distribution would be on that $250,000 that I just talked about. Did I say $250,000 or $350,000? I think it was $350,000, Tony? Tony's my mathematician here, so he's asking. So I think we said $200,000 in the 401k, $100,000 in the IRA, and $50,000 in the bank account. So that's $350,000. So what you do is you take that number and you go to what's called the Uniform Retirement Table that's available through anywhere, you know, Google it, to say, what do I need to take for my minimum distribution? The factor, they give you this number that you have to multiply times. I'm going to make it real easy. Multiply the value of your 1231 numbers by 3.7%. 3.7%, because the number's like 3.6 and change. So I rounded up a little bit. So if you have $350,000, what is 3.7 of that number? I'm doing this in my head. It's about $11,000. So you're going to have to take roughly $11,000 from your collective accounts. All the IRS wants to know is that you took that money. Could you take it all from one account and not touch the others? Absolutely. No one says you have to take the money. However, certain companies say, we don't care whether you tell us not to send it or not. We're going to send it to you anyways. So you have to make sure, certainly at the banks are notorious for this. They want to send you your distribution. So if you'd say, well, I just want to take my $11,000 from my old IRA that I have and not worry about the bank, not worry about the 401k plan. Bank's not going to like that. 401k plan, they don't care. Bank, they're not going to like that. They're going to want to send you the minimum distribution. So you don't want to take more than you should either. That is why I strongly, strongly recommend that once you've approached 70 and a half, and hopefully a few years before that, you find all of your retirement accounts and you merge them all into one big IRA rollover account. And if you do this at an IRA brokerage program or something, you can own a ton of stuff. You could, it's unlimited, frankly, what you could own there. You could own actually all the stuff that you owned in all these various other accounts for the most part, but it's all in one place so that one calculation is made and it's all done nice and easy. Now, when do you have to take your money? Let's say you turn 70 and a half in April. Do you have to take money in April? Do you have to take the lump sum? No. In fact, in our office, and we've got, I don't know, there's got to be at least 100 clients in our office that are over the age of 70 and a half that take their required minimum distributions, and they request it every month. They want a monthly direct deposit sent to their bank account. They look at it as, in a sense, as replacing the paycheck. They get a monthly check. We withhold all the federal taxes. We withhold the state taxes if necessary. If you're in New Hampshire, you don't have to worry about that. And you get a net check. But what happens if you want to take a little bit more money out of your IRA than what the minimum distribution was? Okay, who cares? All you have to be required to take is the minimum amount. You can always take more. But something very interesting happened this past year. For those of our clients that were on what we call on-demand instructions, which means that they were just set up to take a monthly check. What we do is we calculate what that required minimum distribution should be, divide it by 12, send you a monthly check. And that works out for a lot of people. And we never miss going over or anything like that, because if you miss, if you go under, if you don't take enough, 50% penalty, 50. Big penalty. But here's what happened. Last year, the market didn't do so well in 2018. So imagine you had $350,000 in your account at the beginning of 2018. And you took out $12,000. That brings you down to $338,000 of what you had $350,000, you took out $12,000. That brings you to $338,000. And the market dropped another 5%. So another 5%, let's call it another $15,000. So you have something like $317,000 at the end of the year. If you're continuing to take just the minimum distribution, do you know what happens to your check next year or this upcoming year? It goes down. Your check would be less because you had a lower starting value at the end of the year. Now, can you raise it back up? Of course you can. But there were many people that have been surprised that the check that they were receiving for the month went down, and they wanted to know, why'd it go down? Well, it went down because the value of your account was lower than what it was the year prior. Now, what's interesting is most people would understand that, but for the past 8 to 9 years, we really haven't seen that happen very often. Your account has always been greater than what you took out, the value of your account plus what you took out. It was a little different this year, so some people were surprised. Does that mean that you should raise your amount back up to what you're used to getting? Should you just keep it to the minimum distribution? Should you change what you take out of your account? Well, if you don't have the ability to make the thoughtful decision as to what the right approach is, well, then perhaps you shouldn't be managing your required minimum distribution streams. Perhaps you should be talking to a professional to guide you with that. We have a situation right now where we have a client that is just recently retired. He's 61 years old. He had a nice deal. He's got a nice amount of money that's coming from his 401k plan. This is not a required minimum distribution issue, but he is at 61 years old. He has a whole bunch of money in his 401k plan, does not plan to take Social Security until his full retirement age of, say, 66 or 67, does not plan to work. His wife is working, but he needs to pull out, he said, another $5,000 a month to support his income. And he has another $200,000 sitting in a basically in a bank account, and he has $1 million. Yeah, $1 million in his 401k. Nice deal, right? So he's thinking, well, I want to take $5,000 a month from the money that I have in the bank, because that would be no tax to pay. I wouldn't have to pay any tax taking money out. And I got my wife's income, so we'll be in a very low tax bracket. And I told him, you may not want to do that. One of the things that you can work with a financial advisor is to think, maybe I should take money out of that 401k account now. Yeah, I know you're not 70 and a half yet. But many people don't realize how the new tax laws have changed, where it might make sense to actually take money out of your IRA and pay, let's say, a 5%, a 10% tax rate on some of that money, rather than depleting all of your money that you have in the bank over the next few years and then having to take all of your money in the later years from your IRA account, where you could be in a much higher tax bracket. Those are some of the planning steps that we take in our office. We have this great pro forma tax return, a tax return program. So if you did your taxes for the year and you're thinking to yourself, geez, last year, the year before, I got a big refund. And this year, all of a sudden, I owe taxes. I was getting back $1,800, and this year I owe $3,000 in taxes. That rotten president, he took more money from me. This is a call that I got this week. This client called, and he was absolutely ticked off at our president. He said, I told you so. I told you the president says that our taxes are going to go down. And sure enough, now that I did my taxes, look at that. My taxes went up. I've been counting on this $2,000 tax return. I've been getting $2,000 refund. I've been getting it about that $1,500 to $2,000 every year for the past umpteen years. And this year, he sticks it to me. And he charged me $3,000. Oh, man, we got to replace this president. I can't believe, whether you think we need to replace the president or not, whole nother story. But I will tell you, it is not the president's fault. It is not Congress's fault. It's nobody's fault except for that guy, the guy on the other end of the phone. It's your fault that you owed more taxes. Do you know why? I had to go back and look at it. I ran a pro forma tax return for him. I said, do you remember back in October, you asked me for $30,000 from your retirement account because you had some expenses coming up? He said, yeah. I said, my notes here also say that I suggested that you have about 15 to 20% tax withholding done on that distribution. And you said to me, I'll figure that out. He says, there shouldn't be much taxes due. I shouldn't have a problem. Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I did say that. I said, well, that is it. The reason that you owe taxes is because you owe tax on the money, the extra money that you took from your retirement account this past year. Has nothing to do with the new tax package. It has nothing to do with the president. It has nothing to do with the IRS. It has everything to do with you. Now, I wasn't that nasty. I don't talk like that to my clients. We joked about it. And he realized that, yeah, he remembers me advising him that he should have had more money withheld from the distribution. We could have done that for him. And he said, nah, I'll take care of it. And he totally forgot about it. So we appreciated the reminder. But I will tell you, folks, you're all going to be filing your tax returns in the next month or two. And you may be surprised with what taxes you owe. But I'm telling you, you can't go and blame Congress, the president, on why you owe more or less taxes this year. That's not it. It has to do with how your personal situation changed. You got to prepare for that. You got to prepare for your financial future. And we're here to help you do that each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial of Peabody. 2018 will be remembered as one of the most challenging market environments in a decade. And if you're like many, you're wondering whether your investment portfolio and overall financial plan is best positioned for the future. At Friedman Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's make 2019 the year you get your financial house in order. It's your plan. It's your retirement. Let Friedman Financial help you get there.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street and right across the street from the North Shore Mall. We've been providing financial planning and investment management services to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the surrounding community since 1968, 51 years. Not me. Dad started the firm back in 68. I was two then. But I've been running the business here for almost 28 years, Dad, since retired. You've met on my radio show, Marion Gilman. Marion is a certified financial planner. I'm pointing to an empty chair here to the left of me. She is not sitting here today. She's in bed, I think, or somewhere. Actually, you know what? I don't know where she is this weekend. It's none of my business where she is. It doesn't really matter. She has the freedom to do whatever she wants to do on the weekends. So yeah, Marion's been with me a long time. She's sometimes here in studio. Marion is the one that really addresses a lot of the investment decisions in our office. We collectively do the financial planning work, but when it comes time to really selecting the investments for the portfolios for our clients, I've since delegated that responsibility. Used to do it myself. Marion now heads that all up, and she does a fabulous job with all of that. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs and you'd like to talk to one of us, actually, you're either going to talk to Marion or I, or both of us, because that's all we got right now in the office. We are hiring to find another certified financial planner, but right now, it's just Marion and I. That is all. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Just a reminder to Siri. Hey, Siri, remind me to give Friedman Financial a call Monday morning to set up that initial consultation. Just thought that's kind of fun. We've been playing with that today. I'm going to wake up your Siri, and maybe we'll talk to Alexa a little bit later if you're at home. It's kind of weird, isn't it? What do you think about that? Did you see the Amazon commercial following the Super Bowl? Or during the Super Bowl with Harrison Ford and all the others? And the dog running around barking, and he's, buy dog food, buy dog food, buy dog food, buy dog food. It's kind of scary. It is really scary what we have going on in our own houses with our own technology. But speaking of all of that stuff, I thought I would share some fun facts that I came across that I thought might be of interest to you. You know, we see our kids, some of our older kids, perhaps even ourselves, making our daily visit to Starbucks or to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever to buy our foofy drinks, I call them. Now, I buy black coffee. I walk into Starbucks in Middleton, and I get Grande Dark Roast with a couple ice cubes. I really spice it up. I throw a couple ice cubes in because it's too darn hot if I'm just drinking black coffee. So they throw in a couple ice cubes. That's it. That's my order. I'm in and out. But get this. This is a report that came from lendedu.com. It says 27% of 1,000 millennials surveyed in July of 2018 spent more money on coffee each month than what they set aside and invested monthly for their eventual retirement. Isn't that pretty wild? So these are millennials that all have a 401k plan. They have the opportunity to put money aside. They're getting paid more. I know sometimes you shake your head and go, I got a son who's 28 years old or a daughter who's 26. They're making more money than I made when I retired. Yet they're struggling to pay the bills and put money aside for their future. Yet 27% of 1,000 millennials surveyed in 2000 of July 18 spent more money in coffee each month than what they set aside and invested monthly for their eventual retirement account. I thought that was kind of interesting. But here's another one. You want to feel good about yourself? Here, I'm going to make you feel good about yourself today. If you have $10 in your pocket and no debts, you are currently wealthier than 20% of Americans. That's because a high percentage of our population is deep in debt, where their net worth is actually negative. If you're mild in debt, take hope. Bankruptcy is not the only answer. There's plenty of debt settlement firms out there that can help you get back on your feet. But geez, if you have 10 bucks in your pocket, so that means Corey, who's 16 years old, my son, who's 16, who probably has 10 bucks in his pocket. He probably has more than that in his pocket. And now you know he doesn't have any wealth, any debt, not that I'm aware of, because I don't even think he has a credit card.
He's wealthier than 20% of all Americans. Ugh. How about this one? Americans spend $117 billion each year on fast food. Talk about the money that you could save if you just cooked a meal at home. Think about this. How many Super Bowl parties did you go to? Or you went to a Super Bowl party this week, right? How much food at the house was made by either you or a guest that came to your house? Or how much of it was purchased, prepackaged, pre-prepared, that someone went to the store and bought? When you think about the amount of money that you pay for some of this stuff. So it's outrageous. I'm going to tell you a story about a new store that just opened up in Peabody. It's called, what the heck's it called now? I'll get to it. As I'm going to tell the story, it's going to pop into my head. It's over in the Qdoba Plaza. There's a Qdoba and there's a Walgreens that's over there. And there's a new Bundt place. It's something like Only Bundts or Only Bundt Cakes or Nothing Bundt Cake. That is the name of the place. Nothing Bundt Cake. I knew it would come to me. I walk into this place and it's nicely decorated and he's got these beautiful looking Bundt cakes. And they have an 8-inch Bundt cake that says it serves something like 10 to 12 people for $26 for a cake. Now, you could have made that cake through a $1.99, I believe, Duncan Hines mix and dumped it into a Bundt cake and, you know, maybe did a few extra things to it. $26 for a Bundt cake. But they look nice. They taste good. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy it. It's just an example of how much we're willing to spend on things. You know, I oftentimes talk about the fact that I don't understand. We all find things that we're willing to spend a lot of money on. And I'm a culprit of this. I like to go out to eat. So I think nothing about dropping $200 for dinner when we go out, have wine, nice meal, nice dinner. But if I need to, and you buy it, you're done. You'll never get that money back, and the meal will soon leave you, right? But if I want to go out and buy a pair of sneakers, will I spend $200 for a pair of sneakers? I mean, a pair of sneakers that I will probably wear for 5 or 6 years. I'm going to go into Bob's stores and see which sneakers are on sale, and do I have Bob's bucks? But I will spend $200 without thinking about it on a meal. So everybody's different, right? We all choose to spend our money on certain things. But Americans spend $117 billion each year on fast food. We spend $51 billion on our beloved pets. And with $310 million of that $51 billion on pet costumes. We also poured out $96 billion for beer, $800 million for Girl Scout cookies, and $65 billion for soda. Some expenditures aren't fun, but Americans also spend $18 billion on credit card late fees. Not interest, late fees. Is that insane? Is that insane? We can all find something within our lifestyle that we could change to reduce the way we spend our money, to be a little bit smarter. It has nothing to do with, oh, the stock market is up or down, or what's going on with the president, or should I be worried about the tariffs? Folks, Americans spend $18 billion on credit card late fees. I think we can do better than that. How about this fun fact for the day? And how much time do we got left, Tony? We got some time?
4 minutes,
Tony says. Gambling generates more revenue each year than movies, spectator sports, theme parks, cruise ships, and recorded music combined. That's right. The gambling industry is a $34.6 billion industry. It runs the table by beating out Tom Cruise, the Dallas Cowboys, Mickey Mouse, A Week in the Caribbean, and the Rolling Stones. If all those gamblers perhaps decided to allocate their money to play the stock market instead of donating their cash to casino owners, they might actually win something. And we might have an economy that continues to thrive rather than many people that are looking for another handout. One more for you while we have it going. 5% of the people who buy lottery tickets account for 51% of all tickets sold. Okay, get this. Once again, 5% of all the people who buy lottery tickets account for 51% of all the tickets sold. And you know it's not worth it. Someone who drives 10 miles to buy their lottery ticket is 3 times likelier to die en route than they were to win a jackpot. Fortunately, there are easier ways to grow your money, and you might consider an investment strategy for that. Folks, we are irrational individuals. We make stupid mistakes, but we are all human, and that's what humans do. We make a lot of decisions based on emotions, based upon what our neighbors do, based upon the work environment we have, our social environment, every single thing that we do. And what I try to do each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. here is to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Here's one more idea before we got to wrap things up here. I've talked about this in years past, but you know you're saving coins, right? You got coins in your couch, coins in your bucket, somewhere in the house, coins scattered everywhere. Have you ever been to the Coinstar machine at the local supermarket? Mark, I'm not going to go to the Coinstar machine. That costs 10%. If I give them $100 in coins, I'm only going to get 90 back. That's insane. You are right if you're doing it for the cash. But get this. There's an option on the Coinstar machine to select gift card rather than cash. And if you dump all of those coins into the Coinstar machine, and let's say you have $100 in coins that go in there, you can select from a multitude of gift card options. And you may want to pick Amazon. If you pick Amazon, you click on the gift card, and you get $100. Amazon pays your fee. You get full 100% value. 100% value. The Coinstar machine is the hidden secret inside the supermarket. And I would encourage you to go visit it. Take your kids there for the shopping experience and let them pick where they want to get their next gift card. All right, I got to wrap things up here. Want to remind you before we close a couple things. Number one, hey Siri, sign up for Mark's newsletter this week. That's right. Siri will remind you to sign up for my newsletter this week. If you go to my newsletter is called Planning Pointers, go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You'll find an opportunity to sign up for Planning Pointers, a free weekly newsletter that lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30. 3 short stories, 3 ideas, 3 pieces of financial advice in a language you can understand. And of course, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation at our office, give me a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll get you scheduled to come into our office. We'll send you some information about the firm. We'll answer any questions you want, and it'll be our delight to give you more financial advice in a language you can understand that's focused just for you. But until then, we will be back next Sunday. Have a great week. Enjoy this Patriots celebration, and maybe the Celtics will do it next. Have a great week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.